Nice to be back with you people here. Last time I was here, it was in the old hall, if you'd call it a hall. It's so nice that God has blessed you and give you a nice commendation. And I hope and I trust that many will see the light of salvation from this little hall. God is able. God is still on the throne. And no matter how far we think the thing is, well, I won't say any more. I want to look for a few minutes at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I've been enjoying a few things here in this chapter just of late. And when I go to a conference, I'm always scared that I'm going to get up in the wrong time or the wrong thing or whatever, and get butterflies in my stomach. Of course, you people that don't do get up here, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. However, I'm always looking for something to tell me this is what you're supposed to say. There's a verse here I want to dwell on. Then Jesus drew near and went with them. And last night where we stayed in Halifax, when I went into the room that I was given, there's a text on the wall. Jesus drew near and went with them. I thought, well, okay. Maybe that's what it's supposed to be. And then when the doctor got up and gave that hymn out this afternoon, draw me nearer. I thought, that's the other side of the coin. It's one thing to draw near to the Lord Jesus, draw near to me, but it's important that I be exercised to draw near to him. So let's read a few verses here. First of all, in the first verse, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And here's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. They remembered his words. The shortest one is Jesus wept. Another, the second shortest, I would say, is remember Lot's wife. This one has five words in it. They remembered his words. And I think it's important for you and I to remember what he says. We're living in a time now, what I see, a big change from when I was a kid, 16, 17, 18 years of age, going to conferences. I see a big change. And I'm convinced of one thing. We need to get back to the book. Because I've noticed it in Bible readings. Now, I'm not going to say where, so you won't be able to. But I've noticed it, maybe not in Nova Scotia, maybe not around this country so much, but I've noticed it in Bible readings when there was some subject come up, and one would say, I think it's this way. Another brother would say, well, no, I don't look at it that way. I look at it this way. Who cares what anybody thinks? What does the book say? And Mr. Brennan, I had the privilege of being with him the last 3 weeks he preached on earth in a little tent up here in just outside of Liverpool. Milton was the place where we were. And we used to go out on the after dinner. He'd make a dinner and I would try to help him a little bit. But we would go out into right beside the Mersey River. There was a big rock there, and he'd take out his big Bible. Man, what a Bible that was. Marked. Oh, boy. The leaves were getting frail. One day he said something I'll never forget. He says, Robert, don't forget. For every question that arises in a Christian's life, there's an answer for it in that book. Is that right? Yes, he says, I mean that. And he says, for every question that arises in an assembly, there's an answer for it in that book. But he says, you're going to have to go look for it. And I'm completely... Oh, I know we have troubles. I know. Don't worry, after the 74 years that I've been saved and the 65 I've been in the assembly, I've seen it. And there is problems, but what the problem is, get people back to the book. Anyway, I'm getting away from Luke 24. Where were we? They remembered his words. So let's go down a little further. We'll read on. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, a mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And they just got saying that they remembered his words. What was his words? Well, back in the 9th chapter, he told them that he was going to die and be raised again. And now this has all happened. And they believed him not. As I get down here, I want to point something out, but I'll just leave that for now. Then arose Peter, and I would have thought if there was anybody that would have known what was happening, it would be Peter. Boy, I love that man. He had his mistakes, yes he did, but I made more than he did it. And I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus brought him back to himself again, but let's go on. Peter, he rose up and ran to the sepulchre, stooping down, beheld the linen clothes by themselves, and departed, wondering at the things was come to pass. I don't like to suggest things that happen, because it's better just to stay by the book. My dad used to say to me, don't go away from that book, because if you say something on the platform that you, what you think, somebody will come to you and say, where'd you get that? But I can't help but think that Peter's going away wondering, what's going on? Do you ever get in a position like that? What's happening? Let's go on. Behold, two of them went the same day to the village of Emmaus, which was at Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It was about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. There's the one I want to stick around. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, Newberry helps us out here. Did they not know him? Yes, they did. Did they not know the Savior? Yes, they did. What's it saying here then? They should not know him. Newberry points out, fully know him. Now that's different. Did you know that you could be saved on the way to heaven and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and not fully know him? Let's go a little further. They should not know. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? I can understand that. The one that they had walked with, the one that they saw do so many miracles and so on. Sure, they'd be sad. They went to the sepulchre, he's not there. Well, that should make them glad. If they had remembered his words, because he told them that he was going to die, chapter 9, and be raised again. But see, they didn't really take that in. Now, don't be too hard on those people. Don't be too hard on them. Because there's things in this book. And some will say, that's not the way it is. What does it say? Let's get back to it. So, here they are. They didn't know him. They didn't fully know him. But let's skip down here a little bit. Verse 31, while I'm on that thing. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And again, Newberry brings out, they fully knew him. When did they fully know him? When they took him into the house. They're walking along, talking, and I can just imagine, although I'm not going to say what they were saying because I don't know, but I can just imagine. They're sad. The one that we loved, he's not here anymore. What's happening? What's going on here? Did you ever have a condition where you wondered in your own mind, what's happening? Did you ever have a condition in your workplace where you thought, I wonder what's happening here? What's the Lord trying to tell me? Have you ever been in a place where in the assembly a question comes up and you say, when did they fully know him? They took him into the house. He would have gone further. He's not going to push himself on anybody. No. But he enjoyed talking to them. And I want to say again, you can know the Lord Jesus, but not fully know him. They were talking to him, and he was talking to them. And what did he do? He expounded unto them the scriptures. Man, it makes me ashamed. Sometimes somebody will ask a question. I don't know. Of course, there's some questions that you're not supposed to answer anyway. Somebody asked me the other day, will we know each other in heaven? I don't know. I think so, but that's not the point. I don't know because the scripture doesn't tell us. There's one place where it's close to telling us. When David said, I'll go to him, the little boy, but he'll not return to me. Where was the little boy? He was in heaven. Or paradise, whatever way you want to look at it. Now, where were we? So they're sad and they're wondering and so on. And Jesus drew near. My, what a condition. Not only did he draw near, he went with them. And he says, why are you sad? If they'd really caught the message from Luke 9, they would have been rejoicing. Because before the sun rose that morning, the sun rose, the Lord Jesus. But they didn't understand it. They didn't yet fully know. So now then, he's talking to them, and he says, why are you sad? Well, they said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what happened this last few days? What things? Did he not know? Certainly he knew, but he wanted to draw them out. Did you ever get down your knees and don't know what to say? You know something? I think he hears the groans. Without saying anything. And I'll tell you one thing. He does draw near. We not only have a Savior, but we have a great High Priest. When things go topsy-turvy and you wonder what's happening, he'll draw near. and he'll guide you if we do what we were singing. Draw me nearer. So the two come together. But he'll be there first. You know, it just comes to my mind now. I was going in for that operation, or one of them. It was cancer. And my wife and the kids were all there. And Peter Orsak come in. Dear Peter, I still miss him. He was a diamond in the rough, but it was a real diamond. We were talking about different things, you know, the operations in the morning, but we weren't talking about the operation. We're talking about everything else. And the first thing, Peter looked at me, he says, "I don't believe you." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If I was facing an operation for cancer tomorrow morning," he said, "I'd be a basket case." I said, "Peter, God's not giving you the grace. He's giving it to me." And when Peter was leaving, I asked with him, I said, "Keep your chin up, boy." What I'm saying is, when there's when the things happen, he draws near. So the doctor came in after the family was gone. The doctor came in after the family was gone. He said, "You know, Robert," he said, "this is a serious one." He said, "You know, you realize," he said, "this is going to be serious." Well, I said, "I guess any cancer operation is serious." Well, he says, "Do you really understand?" I think he thought I was just... Anyway, after he left, the nurse came in. And she says, "Mr. McElwain, this is going to be a bad one tomorrow." I said, "That's what they're telling me." She says, "You're not bothered?" I said, "No." So after they left, I thought, well, maybe what I'll look and see what it says. And I opened my Bible. Now, just don't take the Bible and open up and get an answer all of it. But God gave me an answer that night. Psalm 56. And I started reading. "I put my trust in the Lord, and I will not be afraid of what the flesh will do unto me." Now, it's maybe taken out of its contracts, but I thought, okay. Read a little further, and I read, I will put my trust in the Lord. I will not, how did that go? "I will not be afraid of what man shall do to me." Thanks. Doctor, go ahead. You see, he draws near. I don't know what people do. When their best friend is taken away. We were married for 61 years. I said to the Lord, when she breathed her last, what am I going to do? But he draws near. And he pours in that which is needed. And some of those nights I couldn't sleep till 4 or 5 in the morning. He drew near. Thoughts in my mind I never thought of before. Where'd they come from? Jesus himself. I like it put that way. Of course, it doesn't matter what I like. But isn't it wonderful the way the scriptures go? Jesus himself. He didn't send Gabriel. Gabriel has another job to do. He didn't send the Holy Spirit. Yes, he did send him into the world, but that's not his work. This is high priestly work. And he's the high priest. And he drew near and he expounded unto them the scriptures. Way back in the Old Testament, he's bringing, like our brother was doing today, bringing the Old Testament into the New. You know what I'm waiting for? Ephesians 2, he tells us that in the ages to come, he will show the exceeding riches of his grace. My, when the greatest orator of this universe, from his throne of spotless whiteness, I don't know if that's the way it's going to be, but that's the way I look at it anyway. And he has all these people before him, millions of them. And little old me. I can't hardly believe it. It's almost too much for me. You know, what time did I get up here? Anyway, what was I going to tell you? Yeah, when I was in the hospital there, getting a new chest put in, they were giving me morphine. You'd know about that, wouldn't you, doctor? It's not good stuff. And it puts me over the edge, and I get all kinds of hallucinations and so on. Boy, there was one night that was terrible. One night it was terrible. Little men coming up out of the ground all around me, no legs, little fat fellas. And they were saying, you think you're going to heaven? You're not going, there isn't any heaven. You think you're saved? There's no such thing as salvation. You know, I was believing them. Boy, I want to tell you, the devil is, he's a mighty foe. It scared me so bad. I called the nurse and I said, bring my Bible. She says, you know what time it is? Yeah, I said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, you should be sleeping. Well, I said, I can't sleep. Bring my Bible. Again, it's marvelous. I opened up like that, and the first thing I read was, thou terrifies me with dreams. Well, I thought to myself, poor old Job, covered with boils from his head to his feet. His wife has turned against him. The three friends, they weren't friends. They're in, and they've told him a whole lot of stuff. And now he's terrified with dreams. Why should I think about a little dream like that? But of course, the next night it was a better dream. I dreamt I went to, the Lord had come. And there was a big tent pitched up there. Bigger than the McCanna's tents. And I thought to myself, I'm not worthy to be in with those people. So like a little boy, I go along and pull up the flap and look in. Oh, man. 30 million. I don't know where the numbers came from. But it's only a dream, you see. It's better than that in heaven. 30 million Chinese people coming in, singing the songs of Zion. Boy, could they sing. And down here was 20 million black people coming in, and they could sing better. And they're all coming in. And I thought to myself, I wonder where the Lord is. And I started looking around. It was only a dream. I saw somebody sitting on a throne. And I saw nail prints. I said to myself, that's it. For I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. All I'm saying that for is just to show you. Even then, the Lord drew near. Because when I was lying there looking in under, you know, like I say, it's only a dream. It's a whole lot better than that. And Albert Hall right beside me, just got there. I poked him. I said, when's this going to end? He says, boy, just starting. Jesus himself. The one that died for me. The great shepherd of the sheep. The great high priest. When you get in trouble, he's right there. He knows all about it. And after he talked to them about the scriptures, and after a while, he was going to go on. He's not going to force himself on you, you or me. But when he was going to go on, they said, come in and stay with us. And they impressed him. And I was going to say they coaxed him. It doesn't say they coaxed him. But they wanted to come in. And he went in. Did they fully know him? Not yet. Not yet. So he goes in, and they get some supper, whatever, dinner, whatever you call it, and they're sitting there, and he gave thanks for it. And they saw his feet, his hands. When he lifted up his hands in blessing, they saw his hands. Then they fully knew him. This is him. I said before, I'm going to say again, you can be saved and go into heaven and not fully know him. Know of his grace, but really not from day to day. Now, you see, with these people, they knew him when they saw his hands. I'm thinking of Mary. She didn't know him. You remember? She was right there at the sepulcher. John and Peter, they went home, I suppose discouraged. But she remained there and she was weeping. God bless the Marys. She didn't fully know him yet, because she thought he was taken away somewhere. She didn't know what he had said in Luke chapter 9. She turned herself back after she was looking into the sepulcher, and she turned around and she saw somebody. How come she didn't know? I suggest the hot, scalding tears that were filling her eyes. How did she get to know him? His voice. He just says, Mary. She'd heard that tone before. Mary. He doesn't call people names. He just calls them by their name. And when you think of John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's another way of how we fully know the Lord Jesus. Hear his voice. And they know the voice. Sometimes it's in chastisement, but even when he chideth, tender is his tongue. I was, it went way back in the early days. We used to land in a field, the man right across from the hall, and he'd sheep. We stopped there one day, and the sheep were way down the corner. I guess they didn't like the noise of the engine. They were way down the corner. And I said to him, that's quite a flock of sheep. He said, yes, they are, he said. He says, call them. I says, I don't know how to call them. He says, say sheep, sheep, sheep. So I said, sheep, sheep, sheep. Now they got their heads down again, they're picking up the grass. Didn't even bother me. He says, say it again. So I said it again. Well, I said, if you're so smart, you call them. He said, sheep, 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 sheep. Look, they're all around us. Why? They knew his voice. Do we know his voice? Sometimes I say to myself, how long has it been since I really heard his voice? I'm not talking about a dream now. But I'm talking about, did we get something from the book? That's how we hear his voice now. I'm thinking of another, but Peter didn't know him. It was after the crucifixion and so on. And Peter, I can almost, well, I better not say it, but I can almost think to myself, likely Peter's thinking, I've denied the Lord. He'll have nothing more to do with me. I'm going fishing. Now, he didn't say that to you fishermen down here. But he said, I'm going fishing. Going back to work. How many a time I've felt the same way. And one time I did go back to work. And I'm sorry ever since. However, they're fishing. And the Lord Jesus came on the shore. And he says, "Children, have you any meat?" And John said, not Peter, John said, "It's the Lord." How come Peter didn't say that? Peter's out of touch with the Lord. And when you get out of touch with the Lord, you'll not know. Oh yeah, going to heaven. But not really knowing him fully, because I'm out of touch. Why is he over there counting those fish? Seems to me he's thinking, no sense me being with the rest of them. He's over, the rest of them over there talking to him. He won't have anything to do with me. Is that the kind of a Lord we've got? Oh, brethren and sisters, just stop and think for a moment. He didn't know him just then. And John had to tell him, "It's the Lord." And then he wanted to get out of sight. But when he comes ashore, seems to me the Lord speaks more to him than anyone. He says, "Peter, if that had been me, I would have said, 'Peter, that was a dreadful thing you did when you denied the Lord.' That's the way I'd be. How would you be?" The Lord Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" That must have went into his soul like molten lead. "Yes, Lord," he says, "I know." And what I'm going to say just as I close is this. Peter didn't really know him until the Lord revealed himself in a special way and gave him a commission that he carried out in a wonderful way. God bless Peter. The Peters. Not just Peter. What was his last name? Doesn't matter. We know who he was. And the point is, God restored him. Sometimes, I don't know about you. Maybe you've never needed restoring, but I've needed it a lot of times. But he's faithful. And in spite of me, and in spite of what I say, and in spite of what I've done, he still draws near. What a Savior we have. May God bless you this afternoon. And may God bless the assembly here for his own name's sake.